How's it going, everybody? We are here back at Around the Discord. And if you notice, we've got the famous Twitch streamer still snapping necks. Now, fair warning, he's not that good at Call of Duty, but he is the greatest shit talker I've ever heard. He talks like Nick, but plays like Tim.
Why I gotta hate on Tim?
Because he's humble. Well, he'll be okay with it.
He's not horrible.
No, he's humble. I said he's humble. I said he's humble.
Humble, okay.
Okay. All right, so let's jump right into our first topic. Now, the beta just happened, and you may have heard Ender talk about this on his podcast, but the beta just happened. They didn't use this so-called anti-cheat that they've been blasting as basically using it as marketing this time, right? So my question to you guys is, was it a mistake that they didn't use the anti-cheat in their beta to at least start testing it? And we're going to start with you, still snapping X. What's your thoughts on this?
You know, I don't think they really did make a mistake. I think they were trying to just get ahead of the curve when it came to the cheaters. So all the cheaters that came in and cheated, they're all going to be banned once that first wave actually comes. I think it was more of just that, just trying to hit them up, see what codes they're using, see what, you know, whatever scripts they're using, and then just ban them from there. And then hopefully we'll have, you know, a whole list of new guys with new accounts to cheat once the season drops officially.
All right.
And then we'll see if it actually works. But
that's not a bad opening take. I'll give it that. Let's go over to you, Jordan. What do you think?
Obviously, it's a mistake. I think it might just be an excuse as to when it starts happening that it's like, oh, we're working on it type deal.
I like it. That is a typical Activision answer there as well. And Ender, your thoughts? I know you weren't too happy about this on your podcast.
I think it's twofold. One, I do agree with the fact that since they're going so hard at hardware bans right now, being able to get that hardware and get those bans out quickly would help with that. I think anything that you are going to be developing that's new needs to be tested at scale. So my question is, how are they going to test at scale? If they have a way they're going to slip it into other games or other things to test at scale, I'm fine. But if they don't test at scale, there's going to be a problem when it first gets launched.
Now, what about you, Jay?
I like to think, because I play this game all the time and they're not going to screw this up, I would like to think that it's actually running in the background and it's just not bringing the ban hammer, that they're being able to get the data.
Sorry, excuse
from
me. So you can see the points are dropping for being a grown man and being that naive when it comes to Activision. One more time, we're going to go back over to Still Snapping X. Tell me what you think, you know, kind of final thoughts on this topic. And should other games, you know, do you think that the cheating is getting so bad that it's getting to the point that developers and other games, there's just no way to stop it?
You know, I think there should be a way to stop it. I think it comes down to internal, like, investigations where, I mean, you hear so many rumors where there's internal guys that are sending out the codes and different things and selling them eventually, or essentially where they're making money off of these. And so they don't give a shit. They want the cheats to happen because they're going to make more money off of them, and people are going to bitch about it more. And I mean, from the regular player standpoint, like Jay, not like me, like a pro like myself, but we, you know, we might step back once we see, you know, more cheaters, but you know, players like myself, we're just gonna go and we're gonna kill them regardless, so it doesn't really matter to us. But for the average player, you know, like Jay, I think, or US Bobber, I'm sorry, I think a lot of them do step back and go check out other games, so I think it does hurt them in that sense, and that's where I stand on that. So
all right, Ender, your final thoughts on this? Do you think it'll affect other games, and that, you know, is it just a problem that's never going to be able to be fixed?
I think it's a problem that can be fixed. I think the fix, though, is in machine learning and, you know, the algorithms that they have to come up with the machine learning to see the trends of the games that they're going to be playing and how these guys interact in order to keep up with the code. The other side of that is, no, you're never going to be able to stop it, because it's just like everything. The guy that's cheating is always ahead of the guy trying to stop them. It's never going to be clean. You're never going to stop it, but hopefully machine learning algorithms can start helping with that. But it's not going to go away. I don't think it's going to affect other games. I think people just got to be like, you know what? There's cheating in the games. People have been cheating in games since games started. Like, get over it. Like, let's move forward.
Exactly. Jordan, your final thoughts on this? And, you know, I know you don't play a lot of Warzone, but you play games like Valorant and stuff like that. And we'll get to that in a minute. But are you worried that this is just something developers are never going to be able to stop?
I mean, sorry, I mostly agree with Ender, but I do think that there's a way to keep it under control. I think that they just haven't put that much effort into it. Obviously, I don't work with them, so I'm not sure. But I think it's, like I said, easy to not test it out now. So when it does become a problem, they just fall back on an excuse instead of testing it now, which they should have done.
Agreed. And Jay, try to get on the board here, sir. Your final thoughts, is this something that they, you know, I mean, I get what you're saying, that hopefully it's in the back end, but it, you got to admit that it's not in their MO for Activision to really be doing it that way.
Well, and let's be honest, having an anti-cheat hasn't really been in their MO either, but they're able to change their spots, right? And I completely agree with Ender that you're going to have something more like Skynet that is going to be able to root these guys out, because it's going to have to be in real time. You're going to have to be able to identify it, and you're going to have to make a great effort on it.
Then about them testing it, though, just one more point there is, the sooner you test the code, the sooner they scrape it and know what you're doing. Holding it may not be a bad thing at that point, because as soon as you test it, you've got it out there. They're going to scrape it. They're going to know about it.
There's money involved, and people are going to figure out ways of making their nut, making their money. And if it's involving cheating in games and everything else and making $20 off of some 16-year-old, or being able to make $39.99, like still snapping necks on his cheat code box that he uses, I mean, the money's going to be made. They're going to be able to use it.
All right, next topic. Shots have been fired. Valorant is a game. Speaking of anti-cheat, Valorant, a lot of our viewers, they do play that. I know Jordan's a big player in that, plays a lot of comp in there. Valorant is a game that is largely focused on the integrity of its competitive environment, implementing an industry-leading anti-cheat. They are kind of one of the best. Riot is great at that. But the problem is, lately, and you've seen, you know, we've heard about this in Warzone as well, are these Smurf accounts. They're making these Smurf accounts so they can play against lower level competition, and they can do it right from the get go. Jordan, we'll start with you. What can they do? What do you think is going to happen? What are your thoughts on this? How can Riot do something to stop this?
You know what, it's unfortunate because it is a free to play game, which is wonderful, which means anyone can play it. I think that that's great that they do that. It just means that there's nothing to stop people from creating an account. I actually created like a previous account. I'm bad, so I don't Smurf. I'm just bad in general. But I did create a personal account, and then I just went ahead and I was like, you know what? I don't want this anymore, and I just created another one. All you need is like an email, I think, to sign up for it. So unfortunately, I don't really know if there's much that they can do. I remember back in, I think it was a year ago, like October 2020, they said that they're researching ways to fix the problem, but as of now, it's still very much a problem. You can see it on my stream. I get very angry.
And what about you, Bobber? Anything that they can do, or what should they do?
Well, look, it's for me, it's always going to be about the money. And when it's a game that has about 10% of the monthly users as Call of Duty, absolutely, it's a lot easier to make a bigger impact with a smaller user community than it is on a game that has 110 million users a month plus, 110 million users a month plus all this other stuff, plus it's mostly PC users. I mean, it's going to be a lot harder, and it's going to be more prevalent in a game that has 90% more players. Like, it's just going to be an issue. It's great that they do such a strict thing, but I don't know. It's once the cat's out of the bag and you start allowing all of this other stuff, I don't think you're going to be able to put it back in.
And still snapping next, your thoughts on you know, what Valorant could possibly do to stop the Smurf accounts and how any game can do it.
You know, I think it's real tough. Once you're a small guy like that, trying to climb the mountaintops, you know, get to that pinnacle, like, you know, Call of Duty and what's it, Battlefield, and what's the other ones coming out, those fucking nerd ass aliens, you know what I'm talking about, you shoot the aliens, what's that game called?
You're losing points for dissing on Halo right now, sir. Halo. He's trying to be funny, but no one's taking the bait.
Dustin off the chief because they need to make some money.
Hey, so if you're in one of those lower 10% games, you know, it's real hard to make that. So you're gonna, you know, stretch to every length that you can to try to, you know, link up with them. And you're gonna have, you know, less money. You're not gonna, you know, be putting your production value towards that. You're gonna be putting it towards you know, your graphics and everything else. So I think that just hinders you, and you're not gonna be able to keep up with the, you know, these big dogs at that point, unfortunately.
Ender, your thoughts on this?
I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's a complicated problem, but I think the solution is actually pretty simple. It kind of goes back to, if you want to play in the ranked mode, you got to have some form of validation through something else other than an email. So I think you can protect your ranked game modes and protect that ladder climb with that, because if you're going to go through it, you're probably not one. I mean, you're still going to have cheaters in there. Like, let's face it, it's going to happen. Like, I can spoof a phone number, I can do all those other things. But adding one extra step to verify, or adding, I've even heard some games going as far as creating some multi-factor authentication. Like, you got to put the code in before you start getting into matchmaking. I don't care about regular modes, but if you're going to have a competitive mode, then you need to do something with it. Like, if it's just free play, everyone's in there, go ahead. If not, put multi-factor in front of it. Like, that's super hard to get around right now.
All right, next topic. We're going to go over and talk about leave video games a little bit and talk about DC Fandome. So my question to you guys, are these virtual events, are they getting it down to the point that it's so successful, right? Yes, there's a big production value, but there's no venue that they got to rent out. Everything's done in-house. They'd use their own studios, use their own stuff. Are these companies getting to the point that they've learned that doing these virtual events is much more profitable than putting on an event that caters to only a certain amount of people versus this virtual event that's global? Do you think that this is something that's going to take over in the future? Are you worried about, you know, can this replace the Comic Cons and E3s permanently? Or do you think they'll come back as we get rid of COVID?
Okay, so if we just throw COVID out the window, let's just say it's normal life, and we do that. I think even still, I mean, even the virgins that like to, you know, not get out of their house, I think they're cool with, like, the virtual events, right? And not having to leave the house, and, you know, not, you know, put the double XL sweaters on to cover their guts and that type of thing. No offense to them, but I mean, I get it. But at the end of the day, I think you want to go, you want to be there, you want to shake hands with the Green Ranger and the fairy godmother and whoever else these nerds want to meet. You know, and the kids love it. So I think you want to take the kids there. I think they get more out of it than watching a TV, in my opinion. So I think that if you take COVID out of it, if it wasn't a real thing, like, it's not a real thing, like, you just throw it out, then I think people just want to be in person. You know, I think people are ready to get back to the normal. They want to get in front of their stars, you know. Shit, I love getting in front of them. You know, we went to Comic-Con back here 3 years ago, here where I live in Boise, and, dude, we loved it. We ate it up. You're on the main stage with all, you know, and that's the thing, dude. These nerds, dude, they love these chicks and their little belly dancer shit, little fairy costumes. Like, in person, it's different. They love it. So I think in person.
I think that's called cosplay, PJ. Cosplay.
But that's also Comic-Con.
And you were a part of the nerds there getting excited about it.
Absolutely. 100%. So I think in person.
Ender, your thoughts?
How do you follow something so well put like that? I mean, so the way I think about this, I think it's you got to play both. So I think they learned how to do the online game the right way, where they can bring in massive ad dollars from just running advertisements through people watching it. So I think you've got this new revenue stream that these venues didn't really have before. You know, you had your posters and you're selling billboard space or whatever inside the venue. Now you can put this out there and you record it, you live stream it. People are used to it now. They're happy to watch it. I mean, if you look at the Fandome, it's free to watch. So you're making your money from your advertising that they're going to put in there anyway. So that's how they're trying to make this money. But I don't exactly for all the reasons said right before me, I'd rather be there in person. Like, it's a different experience. So you get to be able to watch it if you can't get there. You know, a lot of these things for me being on the East Coast, like, I can't get out to the West Coast very often to see some of those. So it'd be nice to have the opportunity to do both. But being able to watch it, I think you get a new revenue stream. Still being able to go to it, they're going to go back to in person. Like, there's no way they wouldn't. But you're not going to see the live streaming go away. You're still going to have that.
So you think they're going to find ways to mix both?
They why not? You've already done it so well. You've already got everything set up. You've already know how to do it. Might as well tap into both revenue streams while you're at it.
And Bobber, what about you?
Oh, man. You know, I'm super excited for this, 8-hour commercial of all stuff that I can buy later to be able to be out there. I mean, it's pointless. All it is a glorified infomercial. This is basically the magic towel that they rub on the water and stuff at 2:00 in the morning, except it's going to run all day and you're going to have to watch these shows. So we've got to get back to being in person. That way PJ can take his family to these things so that they can experience it together and really come together as a family around their fandom and around their cosplay. And so they're really going to need to get back to in-person events, because the other thing is they're going to be able to sell the revenue off of the virtual stuff, but they're also merchandise, appearances, ticket sales, the extra theater that Snap and Next still pays for to be able to go in and go see the cosplayers and all the OnlyFans section. It's going to be really important that we get back to being in person.
Jordan, your thoughts?
I love Ender's idea that they do both, but this isn't about what the people want. It's basically going to be what's most profitable for the company. So what Ender brought up, doing both probably would be the route, right? But let's say if your question is either or, they would 100% keep it online. Two, the vendors that you're talking about, Jay, those are individual vendors that pay for a spot there. So that company is not getting, they're getting like the price for the vendor to be there, but they're not getting a percentage of those sales. People make their own stuff and go there. So,
but they are, because they have to pay for merchandising rights before they go there. So they're paying 20% off of the licensing.
But regardless, the person who's making it is getting the majority of the money. They're paying for, you know, you're paying for your ticket and stuff, but having an actual one, you're traveling through all of these different states, right? For most of these cons. So you're having to rent out this huge building and do all of these things. If it was just based on the company, I think 100% that they would keep it online. I think that we could possibly see a little bit of both come back, though.
All right. Nicely done, Jordan. Look at her bringing the heat. Going back to the original question where it was, which one do you think is going to be more profitable and should they do it? And she stuck to the script. I really like it, Jordan. All right. So we're moving on to Buy or Sell. Back for Blood released today, and it released on day one on Xbox Game Pass. So buy or sell, Jay, that not buying this game is going to hurt them?
Sell it. I mean, I understand and I appreciate grassroots movements, but man, it's usually just a small percentage of people that are pissed off that are trying to get this. I may or may not agree with them in spirit and fight the good battle. But bro, we've been saying this for years. Don't buy the pre-packaged before the game comes out game, and we pre-order everything anyway. I don't think there's going to be enough. Sell it. It's not going to do anything.
Ender, you?
Sell. I'm tired of everyone going out there and being like, oh, I'm going to hurt this company by you not buying it. Like, really? I'm not going to buy it on the other platform, and I'm going to hurt them because they're not going to develop the game. No. The Xbox is paying them. They're going to get paid to make this game. It's going to be out there. Who cares? Like, buy the game if you like it. Don't if you don't. I don't care. Stop doing it.
Jordan.
Yeah, I'm going to sell too. I think Jay's right. Not enough people are going to join on. But also, oh my God, I had a thought. I had an original thought and it went. No! I'm so upset. I was literally just thinking. I just went over it. Can you come back to me?
We'll give you a chance at the end. We'll go over to Snap and Next.
I don't know if that's how that game works. I'm the host.
I can do what I want. I literally just had it and then all of a sudden it just went. Goldfish.
Snapping.
It's over.
Buy or sell, Snapping. You think it's going to hurt Xbox by them refusing to buy the game?
I'm buying. No, I'm selling 100%. No, here's the deal. It's just like Chevy and Ford, right? Like, I don't give a shit. Oh, Ford's over here. Hey, don't buy the Chevy because it doesn't have the little fucking pickup thing in the back end to get your old ass up in there. I don't give a shit. I'm still buying what I want to buy. Like, they're not going to change consoles because of one game. Like, this game is not the top 20 of games played no one gives a shit. Like, no one's going to buy it just because, or not buy it because this little group of haters says not to. They don't care about POS4s or POS5s. They're Xbox, yes. Baby. They're more elite, you know? So it's like they just know better. They're smarter. So the POS crowd just doesn't have it going.
Jordan,
so
you got 5 seconds to give your give your thought.
I was just going to say that there have been more important movements to not support a company or to not buy from them. And unfortunately, people didn't care about those things. So I really don't think they're going to care about this at all.
Good point. All right. Next topic. ASMR will become the meta on Twitch and take over gaming.
So I think Twitch will always be about gaming. I think that this is great, you know, a separate thing, but it's always going to be such a wide variety of streams as well. Like I said, I mean, you could have cooking, DJ, people play video games, people do so much on Twitch. I don't think so. I'm selling that idea.
Bobber, buy or sell?
Oh man, I am loving the conspiracy theory that Facebook's getting involved in live gaming. You've got YouTube, you've got all these competitors. I think I could buy this just because there's going to be so much competition. They're going to start diluting it out, and ASMR and all those weird wackos out there licking their ear microphones.
ASMR is not just that, just so we're aware.
But he's saying that's why it's going to become the meta.
Is she an ASMR?
And so, you know, there's a lot of these videos has taken over. I could see the trend lasting for a while. And, you know, the market's just going to get diluted and everyone's going to be on Twitch doing it.
Snappin', you think ASMR takes over or gaming remains king?
Bro, hey, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to be crazy. You look at all the go to your local like Walmart. See how many people you're like, yeah, he would lick an ear. Yeah, he would kiss a foot, whatever it happens to be. And you can pick them out. There's so many of them. I'm just saying, I think, Zuckerberg, he's all crazy and he's going to shut all this shit down. Right. Cool. Awesome. Twitch is going to be a place until they ban it where it's going to be just a bunch of weirdos. Like, I get weirdos in my chat, like, dude, nonstop. I don't even want to, like, bring them all up so I'll get banned talking about it. But, dude, there's nonstop weird motherfuckers out there. They need their little itch for whatever reason, and they'll sub to you. Like, cool, give me your money, weirdo. But I still ain't licking no ear. I ain't kissing no feet. I ain't licking no armpit, whatever you want. But I'm just saying, I think there's always going to be a spot for weirdos. Because there's so damn many of them.
True. Weirdos, all right, Ender,
just as well as your thoughts.
I'm selling this one. I'm selling this one mainly off of the point that these weirdos, let's use the correct terminology as we're going with through this game. These weirdos, our attention span is way too short. They're going to come up with something else they want to watch. We went from hot tub streams to ASMR to what's next. Like, who knows what's going to happen next? So the attention span to keep this to become the meta, that group does not have the attention span to do it. Like, not at all. They're going to be moving on to the next crazy thing, the next piece that they're in, and that's going to come up. Now, is weird shit going to take over as the meta? Absolutely. Like, if you're just going to categorize that as weird shit, that wins right off the bat. Just chatting is the largest category. Weird shit has taken over.
What if instead of weird shit, we just...
Jordan, go ahead.
No, what if we just label it Walmart stuff?
Walmart stuff?
That would be all the weird shit. Walmart stuff. Walmart stuff.
All right. Next topic.
Walmart.com, baby.
Epic, the makers of Fortnite, they are rumored to be making a Fortnite live-action movie. Buy or sell, this movie will be good and profitable. Ender, go ahead.
I am going to buy that the movie is going to make money, hands down, if they make it. I'm going to sell that it's going to be good. Like, there's no way that it's good. There's no chance it's good, but it's going to make money. It's going to make money. So I think they're not. Those two things don't have to be exclusive. I don't have to be good to make money.
That's a good point.
So, like, combining them, I think it's going to make money and it's going to suck.
Snapping.
Dude, you look how many shitty movies that kids love. It doesn't matter. They could be in there. Look how many fidget spinners sold. Those things are dumb as hell. Kids love them. Kids love Fortnite. They play a shit ton of it. They look at these big streamers that play a lot of it. You know, they look at FCS, all these guys, they got Mercs out here, all these big name dudes playing it in these tournaments. And it's been like that forever. PK, all these guys, they're going to ninja. Dude, they're going to eat it up. They're going to force their parents to go there just like they will force their parents to buy a new skin on Fortnite every fucking month when it does nothing for the character. They're just going to, you know, make their parents take them regardless multiple times. It's probably going to be more than the Titanic. Remember when those 13-year-old girls had their dad taking the Titanic like 15 times? I think it's a dumb idea, but it's gonna make a lot of money, so it's a great idea. Like, I wouldn't watch that shit, but it's gonna make a lot of money.
Jordan, 100%. Your thought?
Completely disagree with you guys. I buy it 100%. Have you seen the concerts that they put on? The free concerts for their games that they put on. Also, they have so much money. I think it's going to be good in the standard of it's going to be good for the audience that they make it for, which
that's what we said.
The people that you are making something for, it doesn't matter if no one else likes it. Like, just completely different niche. But I think that they are going to put a lot of production value into it. So it is going to be good, regardless of if you guys think it's not good to your standards. It's going to be great for their audience.
All right. 100%. Bobber.
You know, wait. Their concerts? Have you seen the production value on their concerts?
They do a lot of live in-game events, whether it's Ariana Grande, Star Wars.
I need a yes.
They do a lot of stuff. Lack of research by the rest of the panel loses a couple points, I believe.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right, Bobber, your thoughts on this. Buy or sell, it's going to be successful and make money.
Ender, I love you before I say this. I think this movie will make a crap ton of money. I am buying it because World of Warcraft was a shit movie, and it made
exactly. That's what I said.
So they all agreed with you. I'm the only one that said it was good as well.
No, it's going to be god awful. So the problem is you've got this fandom who will buy whatever they put out there. You know, I think it was what $400 million that World of Warcraft made. Because we have to remember, it's not just going to be released in the U.S. It's going to be released in China. It's going to be released everywhere. It doesn't matter that in the hallways of every school, you see the kids busting the move, which is going to be the same
Orange
stuff that's going
to
be in.
With Orange Justice, you were trying to do.
I've never seen the production value of anything that they've done. Because
I mean, the production value of the game. Like, the production value of the game alone just makes you not want to play.
They are talking about a live-action movie. That's the rumor right now. So, not an animated.
You're not going to be able to bring in an Ariana Grande movie to be, or excuse me, concert to be able to boost the movie.
And well, I mean, so who are they going to pay when they're done paying Apple? Like, they're not got enough money.
Wow. Moving on. Final topic. Final topic on buy or sell. We're eliminating the final two after this. So, Nintendo Switch OLEDs recently released. Buy or sell that they are worth the upgrade. We're coming to Christmas time, and just like Snappin' says, kids are going to be forcing their parents to get it. If you already own a Switch, is upgrading to the Nintendo Switch worth the upgrade? Buy or sell? Jay, go ahead.
Oh, sell. I mean, the Nintendo Switch, I've talked about how much I'm a big fan of it. It's already a pretty bulletproof handheld console. If you haven't bought it yet, you're going to want to get the upgrade. But it's the same thing when you go from like one cell phone to the next. I just don't think there's enough of an upgrade to be able to justify flushing the system that you've been playing for the past year or two to go ahead and get this new one.
Ender.
I'm buying it. The main reason why I'm buying it is mainly because of there's two things here. I think the OLED screen is going to be a whole lot better to play handheld wise. Just being able to, the OLED screens are so much better. The refresh rates can be better on them and all of that piece. The other thing is for actual being able to, what we do is stream and play online, having the Ethernet port being able to plug right into the base is going to help a lot of issues when you're trying to play online and different things like that. So I think they're going to up their online game there because you're not going to be dealing with Wi-Fi and all the other issues that you have. But you could pick it up and still walk away, have a better screen. I'm buying it. I think they're good moves. I don't think they're revolutionary. I think it's an iteration step. It's nothing more than that, but I would be buying it.
Jordan.
I have one. I'm going to buy it.
Jordan.
I think for other people it might be a buy. For my super poor self, absolutely not. I'm going to stay with my Nintendo Switch. Thank you very much.
And Snappin.
Yo, I think with the stimulus checks not coming in anymore, I think it's a sell. These people aren't going to waste their money on this POS. It's not that much of an upgrade in the essence of it. I mean, these are for little kids that are, you know, watching it, you know, while they go to the store and, you know, they got ADHD or whatever, so they don't want their mom doesn't want them to bug them, ask them for shit. They just want them to sit down and play the game, honestly, while they're shopping. So I think it's a big sell. I don't think it's that much of an upgrade, and I don't think they're going to buy it for these little brats, honestly, that play the Switch, including my kid. You know, he had the earpiece go out, you know, the headphone jack. You know, I replaced that on his original. I was like, yeah, you're keeping this for another 10 years. You know, so I just don't think they're going to buy them for these little brats.
All right, guys, that ends the buy or sell. So we're going to get rid of it. Looks like Jordan and Ender are going to the finals. First topic. Battlefield, the new game, Battlefield, initially released to all sorts of hype and hate towards both Halo and Call of Duty. Many fans say it was going to easily overtake those games and it would be far superior. Now that the beta has come and gone, many players seem to not be as excited, with many of them saying the game kind of sucks. Now my question to you are games being made poorly now, or are our expectations for a AAA game just unrealistic? You know, it wasn't 20 years ago you were playing something like Double Dribble, and you thought that at the time was the greatest game you'd ever seen, and now, you know, these games are extremely graphical. So are our expectations unrealistic, or the game's just made bad? Well, Ender, we'll start with you.
I think the expectations are not realistic. At the end of the day, it's a beta test that's out there. You don't know what the end result's going to be. You don't know what the full content's going to be. I think the AAA games are slowly declining because they're trying to put too many out too fast. I think if they spaced them out a little bit more, gave more content, did more stuff there, it'd be fine. But at the end of the day, it's fanboys being fanboys. Everything comes out. It's the greatest thing in the world. You play it, and then everybody hates it. Like, it's the same thing that happens over and over and over again. You're going to have your group that loves it. You're going to have your group that hates it. But expectations are unrealistic for developers now. The massive game that you are trying to create here, the world you are trying to create, is just larger than anything. And a lot of these are free games now. So you're asking them to build these crazy games for free. I think it's unrealistic at this point.
And Jordan?
I have to disagree. I think they set their own standards. I think the only reason people's standards are so high is because we've seen it done well, and we've seen it done poorly. We've seen it done poorly, unfortunately, a lot. And so now we have the correct standards, I'd say, versus just taking whatever it is a developer's going to throw at us.
No, I think the community sets the standards that they're going to set with internet trolls. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, someone out there is going to be mad. They have the internet. They're going to be pissed off. It doesn't matter what standard I set. They're going to be pissed off about it. So yeah, I don't agree with them setting their own standards.
But I mean, I think majority of people, I think that's a complete different subject. Because you can still hear a lot of praise from a lot of different games. Obviously, you're not going to please everyone, but the majority.
But my whole thing is, like, it goes away afterwards. It's like, oh, this is going to be great. It's going to be great. Oh, it sucks. It's like, you have fanboys in the beginning, the haters at the end, that no one talks about it. Then it gets released, and then you have everyone play it, and then you get the true community feel. Like, that's until the game is launched and everyone's playing it, you're not going to actually understand if it's good or bad.
But that's not the question. It's just saying, are games in general being poorly made, or are expectations?
I don't think they're being poorly made. I think games in general are getting better each time that they move forward.
I understand your points, Ender, and I agree with many of them, but I think Jordan wins this topic here. I think that these companies have set a standard, and
you had your own opinion before this game even started, so it didn't make a difference.
Wow. All right. Next
topic. You already knew it. It would have been interesting.
I mean, that is part of the game, though. Direction. Isn't it?
The second. Let me figure out which direction the host is going.
I didn't know what your answer is going to be. Next topic.
Can you tell me how to answer the next one?
Next topic. Jordan, you're going to go first. Cyberpunk is now $10 on Xbox and PlayStation Store. It includes the free upgrade to PS5 and Xbox Series X when that comes out. Should fans be worried this will deter the money-hungry management team at CD Projekt Red from continuing to support and improve the game with the free DLC like they promised? Do you think that the game is selling so poorly that it's dropped to nothing that they're not going to continue to support it? Jordan, go first.
God, I hope not. But the fact of the matter is that unfortunately this happens with games, right? Is that they say that they're going to come out with all of these improvements and things like that. And unfortunately it just ends up being like, oh, whatever happened to Cyberpunk? You know what I mean? Like people just kind of move on. So unfortunately, I think that that might be the case, even though I really hope it's not.
Ender.
Why put money into the flop that was Cyberpunk? Oh. I just you're not going to put any more money into it. It's done. The game's over. Move forward. Try to figure out what your next game's going to be. You flopped. You said it was going to be the greatest thing in the world. You couldn't even start it. You're blowing up machines. Nothing worked. you had to pull it off the shelves. You gave refunds. Like, you're done, guys. Like, no, they're not going to support it. What am I going to do? Is my DLC going to still fix the game? Like, am I still? Is that my next patch? Is that what they're calling it now? This is a DLC, guys. It's the patch for the next game. Like, so I can fix all my bugs that are still in it.
You know, your argument was so strong, Ender, you actually deflated my hopes for this game, so I have to give you the point. You made me feel upset about this. All right, so we are tied, so we're going to go into a final topic. This is a surprise topic, but we talked about how schools were setting up bans and petitions to keep kids from playing Pokemon cards and doing it in the school. Some schools were funny about it, some were dead serious about it. So my question to you is, should the schools get involved when it comes to games and Pokemon like this and ban them, or should they find ways to work with them?
I think they got to work with the kids. I don't think you can just sit there and keep banning these games and pissing the kids off and doing all the kind of stuff there. I read the first like paragraph of that. I think working with the kids, giving them a chance to play, understanding that this is a luxury that you get and it can be taken away from you. If you guys don't do it, you know, you don't follow the rules that are in place, you play with the games where they're at. Like, I would have loved for a school to have done that, you know, with us and gave us that opportunity, but they never did. It was just, you know, we hate you, so go sit in the corner, you know. But I think you got to work with them. You got to give them a chance. I don't think games are as bad. And the other thing that people got to start realizing is look at all the money that's out there in the gaming world. Like, this is a profession that could be for these kids. This is something that they could be doing now. So let's move forward and try to figure something out with them.
Jordan,
stop working against them.
I think it would be great to see ban personal use, but maybe during times like recess or stuff like that, they maybe have like a communal use that you could have for the kids, and that could be a good compromise for it, because then it won't interrupt the learning aspect, right? Because that's the only thing I would be worried about, is that it's coming in between them actually learning during class, and that's the reason it's been taken away and banned, and that's probably what happened.
I mean, yeah, I think anything, what I'm saying is, not we're not fighting on like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, in the middle of English class, I'm gonna pull out the card and start playing. Like, sure, that's something that teacher's got to control, and that's something there. But I think when you start banning these things outright and you're doing things like that, you're just losing their attention. They don't like their teachers. They hate them. They feel like no one's working with them. So their learning is going to suck as well for the group that's trying to do it. So you got to start actually working with them and giving them a place. I know my school, like we had Auto Shop that we'd go to. And then my last year, my senior year, they banned Auto Shop because someone doesn't like the fact that they're teaching how to drive race cars or something at that point. Like, you got to work with the kids and what they like to make us interested and want to be there.
Jordan, your final thought?
I completely understand where you're coming from. I just think that this is just the wrong topic to focus on. I mean, girls are still getting pulled out of class and sent home for having a spaghetti strap on and showing their shoulders. Like, it's kind of ridiculous, the things that schools decide to ban, and I think that this is just not really as an important topic. Like, I think banning a game isn't really going to demotivate students versus changing the expectations of learning. Like I said, I think that really puts a hindrance on females in class. I remember I got sent home and my mom was like, why did they send you home? It was literally like my strap was like this instead of like right over my shoulder.
So the game goes to Ender. Jordan, don't disappear yet. We'll bring you back on to say goodbye. But Ender, this is your moment. Say whatever you want, sir.
Oh, man, I didn't have a victory speech ready. I should have had one. I was pretty sure it was going to happen. No, I think the big thing that I would just want to bring up is around the, we kind of talked about around the anti-cheats and the things like that and the developers in these games. I really want COD to get their shit together, get some of these guys out of it. I want a ranked mode, and I really want them to keep Iron Trials in the game. Like, why do they keep getting rid of the best modes that are out there? And I know people are hating on Iron Trials, but I love that fucking game mode. Let's lower those TTKs. Let's get everyone in there. Let's let skill and gunplay start to actually win games and shit like that. And the hackers aren't going to be able to hang. We got two-shot headshots. These guys can't kill us as fast if they're out there. I didn't see a lot of hackers in trying to play in Iron Trials because they're just too much life. They couldn't handle it. So let's go ahead and do some things like that. Let's get some hackers of the game and Call of Duty. Please, please put some time into Vanguard and fixing those bugs. Fix that soundtrack. Let's get a good game out there. And let's also give the pros something to play, because I really would like the pros to have a better game to play, because this last season with the pros sucked. Call of Duty League was terrible. I didn't even watch half of it. So let's give them a good game for the pros to play.
Guys, thank you so much for coming out tonight. We appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoy watching this show if you're watching it on the delay. Don't forget, if you want to catch us live, we go typically, I know tonight was off, it was Tuesday, but typically we will go every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Central Time. Come back, see the cast. Right now, Shadow's got to win. Ender's got to win. Jordan is knocking on the door, guys. I feel like if you don't bring it next week, she's going to be right there. She almost had it tonight. But thanks, everyone, for stopping by. And for those that followed, I hope you guys keep up with us. Don't forget, on YouTube, Last Choice Network, you can catch all of our podcasts plus any podcast platforms out there. And we will see you guys next week. Have a good night.